Perhaps you haven't thought of peace as a power, and yet peace is the greatest power. Peace and love are one. We're used to thinking of love as a power. But tonight we want to look very carefully at peace, the signs of peace, and what peace is. Peace is the experiential proof that you've made contact with reality. Any time that you're not wholly at peace, it's because you have diverted your vision into an illusion field. It's very, very crucial that we be aware that this world of appearances and energies is not the real world. But behind appearances, there is a world that is eternal and real and shines just around the periphery of the illusion. So as we take our minds and consciously elect the peaceful choice, the peaceful perception, the peaceful vision, we find that the illusion has to depart in the face of truth, because truth is what sets us free. And in the choice to perceive truth, to see that as opposed to the illusion, you actually cause the illusion to flee, and it simply vanishes. I think you've all probably been in a hot area out on a freeway or a desert road, more likely in a deep desert, very, very hot area. And you probably have enjoyed, as I have, watching how real a mirage of water on the highway can appear. It looks just like there's been a downpour and there's been lots and lots of rain. And you get up to it and you could swear you're going to splash any moment. And you get up close and it's gone. I used to love that as a child to watch. And the other thing is sometimes you'll sit and you'll be looking at a candle flame in a certain way. And if you work your eyes in a certain way of looking, you see two candles, two candle flames. And you really have a hard time trying to discern which is the real and which is the reflection. In exact analogy, beloveds, the world that we seem to see in this dimension is a distorted reflection of worlds that exist at a higher dimensional level. That's why every master teacher, every avatar always tells us that this world is basically mithya, illusion, or maya. It has realness in it, but what is real is you, who you are as an extension of the love and the peace and the grace of God is the only real thing here. That which beats the heart, that which breathes in and out, that which shines in the eyes of all beings, that divine spark is the only real thing here in this world. And it's particularly potent and real in the human, because we are the only species that has been created specifically to be the image of the living God manifesting in time and space and being conduits of grace and conduits of peace into this distorted field. We are that which awakens within the illusion, and by awakening, we begin the process of shining away the illusion for the fellow inhabitants that are in this particular holodeck. I often like to think of the world as a big kettle, a big steaming kettle. And in it, all of the components of the things that are going on in the world and floating around and appearing and dancing around in the pot boil and boil and boil until all of the sediment comes to the surface and then through grace is skimmed off until the clear and the distilled broth is left. And the broth is the distilled essence that soul has extracted from the experiential forays into this labyrinth and weaving of thought projections and belief systems and all of the things that we conjure up in the imaginative self, which then parades as our own creation. You must have noticed that this world in the third dimension is made up of the interactions basically of the three lower chakras, security, sensation, and power. So fact, the next time you watch the news, remind yourself of this, that you are simply seeing the play of security, first chakra, sensation, the second chakra, and power, the third chakra. That's it. The fourth dimension that we have been moving into for some time, particularly the vanguard of light is actively moving through the fourth dimension, is, of course, the heart center. And that is entered by the awakening heart, the forgiving heart, and the grateful heart, which leads you into living in loving as a conscious choice or active goodwill to all. That would be the definition of the fourth dimension. And then the fifth dimension, those of you who have really gotten that down really well, who are living in the peace of God, that is the throat chakra, where you are living in love and grace and centered in the loving heart and speaking and creating from loving intent. Some of you who have that down, that are the ascended masters of the earth, are seeing the one beloved within all that you see. That's the unified vision, or the Christ consciousness. And then the few, probably very few, that are living in the seventh dimension are experiencing the oneness or at-one-ment with the all that is. So this is a quick way of ascertaining the placement of consciousness in terms of the dimensions. But what we want to look at is the quality of peace. The one thing we can say about the peace of God is that it doesn't resemble anything that is familiar to the human mind. It is that peace that bypasses human understanding. It has no reference to anything before or after. It's not caused by anything, except for one thing, the preference of peace above that of conflict. And once conflict is no longer an option that you ever want to opt for, and peace becomes more important and your only goal in any interaction, you will see and experience only peace. So the only purpose that we have really in linear time, which has characterized our experience here in the third dimension, is to make another choice of what we would have real. Every time we are in an interactive in life with another person, you always know that little nanosecond before you enter into an ego action, which is usually aggression or anger or some form of conflict if you're not centered in the love of God, you know that just before you go into that, you make that choice. Even though you pretend that you don't, you don't make that choice consciously, you do. You really do. Watch yourself the next time you get hot under the collar and realize you can choose again and you can make that choice for peace. We must really, at this time, as bearers of light, make active and proactive and constantly active choices and exercises of peaceful endeavor now. The entire planet Earth is shifting very, very radically now into those higher dimensions. We're right on the absolute cusp where more and more souls are popping through the dimensional veil now and finding themselves completely birthed into the new version of the Earth, the higher dimensional version of the Earth. More and more people are doing that. Many people are experiencing tremendous shifts today. That has left some feeling disoriented or dizzy. A lot of people report dizziness. A lot of people are experiencing headaches. I never have headaches, and I've had headaches now for almost a month, and episodes of dizziness where you feel like the whole inner self is gyrating and turning. And that's when the consciousness is taking another turn as it spirals into a new perspective that we would call the enlightened state. So peace is that reservoir of power that we need to enable that thrusting of consciousness into the higher levels. Why in the world do yogis and mystics throughout the centuries withdraw from the world to practice peace, to cultivate peace, to discipline the mind and the emotions and the body so that they can be carriers of peace. It is for just that. Now, you and I have spent lifetimes doing that. We've been there and we've done that. If you're a bearer of light, one who truly carries the divine anointing of peace and love within you, then you are the ones that have come back in time to usher this whole planet into this peaceful choice of a worldview. The first thing to do is to begin to abstract, withdraw all energy linking with anything that is not peace-producing in your life. You can do that by withdrawing your thought, even if you're in a disharmonious relationship, but sometimes, unfortunately, you live with people who are negative or express negatively. You can still, in your mind, chant something that produces a sense of peace, the Om, or the Hu, or Shanti, or Jesus, or Yeshua, anything, or Om Sai Ram, any mantra that you can distract the mind from engaging in the negative conflict. One time, my mother-in-law was reading me the Riot Act, and she called on the phone, and she was using some very colorful adjectives to describe my mothering skills at that point. Probably all true, but nevertheless, she was haranguing and nagging and screaming, and I put the phone away from my ear because, you know, who wants to listen to all that? And when the blah, 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 blah stopped, I put the phone back to my ear and I said, well, thank you so much for expressing your love and God bless you. I love you. And there was like this gasp on the other end of the phone. And she said, is that all you have to say? I said, yes, and have a really beautiful evening. And I hung up really slowly. It wasn't very long before she called. I think it was another day or two had elapsed when she called to apologize that she had stuck her nose into an area that it didn't belong. And that was the first time I had the presence of mind to think of doing that. But try it sometime. It's very disappointing when somebody wants to pick a fight and you don't have any fight to pick. People quickly lose interest in you when they can't hook you into their negative agendas. And strange as it may seem, the ego grows in its own sense of illusory power by getting your goat, you know, upsetting you and then using the energy of the upset to feed itself. So, you know, starve it out. Starve the negative things by not feeding into them and not giving them anything to feed upon. So peace is the evidence that you are also hearing and heeding your inner guidance. The Holy Spirit, remember, within you, that dwells within you as the power drive of God, the power of the living God who inhabits you and sends energy through the soulific power into every cell and DNA in your body so that your body is literally permeated by the energy of the living spirit. And that has been called the comforter or the spirit of peace because it is just that. And it's also the inner teacher, the inner master, the inner guide. Many people call it the high self or whatever, but it's actually God in you as you. So the divine answer, the divine solution is always one of peace. It's always a choice for peace. And it's always to think again, what is my goal? Is my goal joining and unification and at-one-ment? If it is, then choose peace. As you meditate, as you chant, as you do spiritual exercises, you will come to the point, as I have, where it's just too much effort to get all riled up. I find it very difficult to get upset these days. Things that used to just really unravel me just roll off my back like water off of a little duck. And it's because I've spent many, many years in these practices and in the peaceful choice and studying the Course in Miracles and being with Sai Baba and and real emissaries and guardians and treasure troves of peace. So in this process, I hope to encourage you also to be aware that as light bearers, you do not have to buy in to the karma drama that's taking place on the holodeck of Earth. Right now, we're having extraordinary outpicturings right now of people's belief systems that are extremely polarized. And people that are in polarized states try to hook you into polarization. They want you to stand up and declare your position. But the minute you declare your position, you actually put yourself in a variance with another position. And it's one of, for me, it's been very challenging to serve my function as a spiritual teacher and a writer and one that often is faced with that dilemma. What do you say to people to keep from hooking them into the illusion, to keep them directed in being proactive, in walking and living and manifesting from their own perception and experience of truth? And what do you do to guide people that aren't quite there yet and they're just really confused? As light bearers, all of us are faced right now with people who, by and large, are running around like scared chickens. They're very frightened. They don't know what's going on if they haven't been doing their homework, if they're not self-realized, if they haven't been practicing any form of spiritual practice, then they're running scared. So what do you do when somebody comes to you and they want to know what's going to happen in the future? Is the Bible prophecy accurate? Are the, what the Mayans saying? Is that going to happen? Is the world coming to an end? I mean, you'll get all of these different questions. So I thought I would share with you a few really clear ways to respond to people's questions so that you stay karmically clear and you don't get hooked into their reality system and you don't aid and abet them in their illusion. Bear in mind, beloveds, that there's always a plus factor. Nobody knows everything. Nobody has all the answers, only God. And we're part of God, but we're not all of God. So therefore, we all have a portion, a crumb, if you will, of the truth. So our duty begins and ends with being loyal to our direct experience, of truth. And if we can't speak from direct experience, here are some other ways we can answer. From my perspective, it seems, and then you can add whatever you want to add, or what I've experienced is, and this is the best place to operate from, then there's the other approach, what I have been taught or what I've been told is, and then another way, personally, I don't know, but this is what I have heard others say. And then another approach, these are the facts so far as they've come to be known at this time. It's a scientific kind of research sort of thing. And then the sixth would be, this is what many others have experienced, so you can check it out for yourself if you wish. In that way, if you respond from one of these six particular approaches, you will stay clear karmically. We are always having to abide by the prime directive, which is non-interference with free will. We cannot coerce or force anyone into any kind of an action without incurring the karma. And that's why we have to be very, very honoring of everybody's choice of how they want to live and what they want to do. However, if they come to you for counseling, if they tune in to this radio show and are listening to me, if they email me or you and they ask a question, then your choice is to answer in a way that allows them plenty of wiggle room to make their own free will choice. And to point them to that, too, that ultimately you must decide what you want to have real in your reality and what you want to experience. Last week, we spoke about the power of expectation. And today, we're going to move it into another area of power, which has only to do with your own direct awareness. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone. Peace has absolutely nothing to do with situation, circumstance, environment, the people around you, or what's going on. That's why it bypasses human understanding. The divine response to any dilemma, and we're faced with many dilemmas today, is going to always be one of peace. When you have made a choice, say, for example, in a dilemma, you're faced with two directions to go. When you decide on one of those directions, and peace is the immediate result where you feel, ah, wow, and that settled feeling within you arises, that's the divine seal of approval. You have made the right choice. So become really sensitive to the power of peace. For it's the sign that you're really being spirit-filled, spirit-led, and spirit-directed. And when you are spirit-led, you are acting as a son of the living God. So let's examine what's going on right now in your inner awareness. Are you completely at peace? I mean, completely. Peace is like pregnancy. There's no such thing as a little peace or a little pregnancy. It's either all or not at all. So if you're not at peace, never judge it, because we don't have enough information as individuals to judge anyone or anything at any time. Judgment is solely not ours as an option. Anytime you judge, you actually bind yourself to have that experience. So, for example, if you judge another person for a particular behavior or action or weakness, automatically you're going to have to experience that, because judgment is that which sticks on you, just like dog do if you walk in it. So consider judgment like dog excrement, and don't step in it. So peace is your reservoir of power. Peace enables you to access immediate spiritual contact and guidance. You're going to be able to hear God very, very clearly if your mind is like a clear, still lake. The slightest quiver and impression of the movement of God's Spirit within you, you will be able to hear clearly and pristinely, and you're going to need that increasingly so as we move into these higher dimensions. When you cultivate active peace, which is to make those choices that work for you, that keep you balanced, that keep you lifted, that keep you centered, that keep you aware of your divine persona, who you truly are in God, the eternal truth that you're an immortal being, when you really keep focused into those things, you will find that you're in the world, but you're not of it. And we're meant to be in the world. We're meant to be active participants in the world. This is not a time to withdraw from the world. This is not a time to put your head under the sand like an ostrich. This is not a time to do anything. This is the time to walk the earth ascended, whole, and free. This is the time to be the collective Messiah, to be the hands, the voice, the eyes, the touch, the grace, and the body of Christ in this world. We are that collective sonship that is called to be the saviors of this world at this time. And the only one we can save is ourself. And the only way we can save ourselves is to realize that we've already been saved, because in highest truth, we have never, ever been separated from the heart of God. We've never left home. So this whole nightmare of separation, which spawns every form of fear and sorrow and desperation, is all one great big nightmare from which we are collectively, each in our own ways, awakening. Each in their own timing, each predicated on their own individual selection and choice. We choose ourselves because in highest truth we've already been chosen, so all we have to do is choose back. Yes, I choose the peace of God. Yes, I choose to move into the ascended master state. Yes, I choose to move into the highest dimensional level of life that I can possibly matriculate into at this time. Yes, I recognize that in highest truth I've never left the heart of God. And as I move into that happy dream of return, and it is a happy dream when we dream we're ascending and we're returning to a state that seemingly we have lost. And it's necessary. It's that little bridge between total unconsciousness and total enlightenment that we seem to need to kind of make that adjustment. Then, you see, that is the only choice that needs to be made. And then we extend that choice throughout the grid, throughout the collective consciousness, and the whole area that we live is transformed. The family in which we live is impacted. The world itself is impacted. Because no one is set free alone. No one is saved alone. No one is healed alone. No one does anything alone here because we are a collectivity that is totally encased in a unified field. So this sign that one is truly in harmony with the universe, with life, with God, is one of peace and joy. In fact, Sai Baba has often said that the test that you have encountered a genuine yogi, and yogi comes from the word yug, which means to be one with or yoked with, the genuine sign of a yogi is peace and joy. So these are your benchmarks when you can live in active peace and active joy without reference to what's going on. In other words, you stir up your own peace and joy in the kettle of your own life, and you don't go outside that to try to mood make with it. You can't mood make with divine things. You either activate them from within yourself, or you don't. Because if you go outside for a fix, say for example, you go to someone and have them pray for you, or do a session on you, or you go to a workshop and all of that, and you have a high for a day or two or week or month maybe at the longest, and then you're back in your home again wondering what happened and why you lost it. It's because you can't get these things from without. You have to create them, create a space from them from within, and you have to stir them up, activate them, and come into integrated alignment with them. So this is the task before all of us. This path has been called the path of initiation, the path of the infinite way, the path of disciple, all of this. But simply what it means is that we have agreed to disciple ourselves, to discipline ourselves, to keep our focus Godward and loveward and peaceward and direct it into the freedom of spirit that we all ultimately desire so very much. It is said in the scriptures, you will keep those whose minds are focused on you in perfect peace because they trust in you. So we, as we keep our trust in God, as we keep our mind on God, as we keep our focus that no matter what you see, just keep telling your mind, even though this looks real, only God is real. Only God is real. I remember one time in L.A., my car went dead on a lonely street on a Sunday morning when there was nobody around. And I didn't have any money to call a taxi. I didn't have a cell phone in those days. I didn't have anything. And I'm sitting in my car. And I practiced this, and I kept saying in my mind, this is not real. Only God is real. Even though it looks like I'm stranded in this lonely area, only God is real. I live and move and have my being in God. God lives in me. Wherever I am, God is. I was really getting into it, and all of a sudden there's this knock on my window. It scared the heck out of me. And it was one of my friends just happened to be guided to drive down that road and saw my car sitting there and was wondering what in the world I was doing sitting in the middle of the road. So within a few moments, they had the car going again, and I was off on my merry way. But you see, when you make that choice for God and for peace, the whole universe rearranges itself to support that choice for reality. You can literally do miracles if you refuse, absolutely refuse, to buy into negative illusions. Absolutely refuse. A friend of mine called the other day from the hospital, and she was all freaked out. They had just done a scan on her brain, and they said there was this embolism, and she was going to have to go in for immediate surgery. She was so frightened. She called me, and I prayed with her over the phone, and I said, you know what? Jesus Christ healed you 2,000 years ago when he bore all of your infirmities and all your diseases and all your sins on the cross of Calvary. You've already been healed. Let's just claim that in the name of Jesus and see that illusion utterly dissolve and disappear. Well, bottom line was they did another CAT scan on her, and she was clean as a whistle. Absolutely no embolism where one had been on the previous CAT scan. So we have the power. We have the power given us by Almighty God to be his oracles, to speak his counsels. That's actually what it means to be a prophet, is to tell forth the oracles of God, to speak the counsels, the words of God into this dimension. So I'd like us to do an exercise now, since we've had some very interesting reality constructs floating around. We had just a few minutes ago a complete eclipse of the moon, which is actually a good thing. And we had, however, it does sometimes have ramifications in the weather and the tidal flows and so forth. And we supposedly had a satellite shot down today in the atmosphere. Maybe that took place, maybe we didn't. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because we're going to rise up in our spirit bodies now, and we're going to speak as oracles of God into these situations. So take a deep breath and just shift your point of view to where you're standing in space, looking down upon the earth. And we look out and we gaze at the beautiful vastness of this beautiful holodeck with all of its stars and its wonders. Even though it's illusory, it is sure beautiful. And if the illusion is this beautiful and magnificent, can you imagine what the real God worlds will be like? Wow. So let's just, with our divine love, take that satellite and we wrap it in the golden heart of Christ, the golden love of Christ, and we completely dissolve any toxic matter, dissipates by the power given to us and deputized and authorized for us to operate in. We render any harmful intent from that satellite null and void, and we pronounce it absolutely encompassed in love, and anything that is not for the highest good of this planet and its people is dissolved now through grace. And just see it dissipate in so many golden flecks of light. And now we see the earth, and from the Lord God of our being, we bring a column of pure white light down to the North Pole, through the planet, and out to the South Pole, bringing perfect balance, perfect stabilization, and perfect order. In the name of Christ, so be it. And now we scan the planet, and there's a beautiful logo. If you ever watch the program Globe Trekker, it happens to be my favorite program on TV, there's a beautiful glimpse of the planet Earth with light just bursting through its crust. And it's a beautiful visual if you want to visualize that. So let's visualize our planet Earth and see shafts of light coming from the inner core, the Christ self within the very center of the Earth. Yes, the Earth has a soul. It has a Christed soul in the center, a great central sun in the center of the Earth. That's the heart of the Christos within our planet. See light from that cosmic heart of our sun inside the Earth burst through and shine through the outer core of the Earth, radiating the Earth, dissolving and transmuting in this pure golden white Christ light any imbalance, any negativity, any karmic flows, anything that could possibly be dissipated at this time through grace. And we speak it into activation now in the name of our beloved universal creator of all things. And now we stand with our palms out towards the earth as we send the light, the beautiful golden love of God, into every man, woman, child, animal, everything that lives on this earth, all the fauna and flora and life forms. We bless you with the peace of God. We bless you with the love from the very heart of the all that is. And we say to you, peace, beloveds. You are love. You're made of the warp and woof of divine love. Be at peace. Awaken. Awaken to the love that you've always been and the safety in which you remain eternally. And just release that beautiful light for the highest good of all concerned. And wherever there's conflict in the world, let's just see from the very heart of the all that is, beautiful white doves of peace with little hearts coming out of them, just flying in a beautiful benediction of peace and love, little emissaries of peace all over those areas. These are thought forms, divine thought forms of doves, and little beautiful pink and red hearts that float to wherever they're needed to bring divine accord, divine awakening, illumination, and the gradual transformation of the hearts and minds of everyone as we learn to make peaceful choices. Thank you. And take a deep breath. And shift your viewpoint back to where you're sitting and listening to this program. And be aware of how quickly you can move in your spiritual inner awareness to the viewpoint of soul, to the cosmic viewpoint, to the universal viewpoint. We no longer need the metaphors of beaming up in spaceships and doing things laboriously, because we don't have to be bound by form since we are in limited consciousness. Well, yeah, we can play in the spaceships if we want to. What the heck? It doesn't harm anyone. But what I'm suggesting is that we can explore with other avenues of divine expression, and we don't have to be limited to vehicles that transport us from one place to another. Because in highest truth, if we are part of God, there is no place that we're not, because our nature is exactly like God's. Many of you have indicated to me that you're seeing visions of persons on the inner planes, and they keep repeating themselves as they appear in your dreams. I'm suggesting that you really look into the possibility that many of you may be in the process of integrating yourself from the future into this timeline. That's what happened to me, and that's what's happened to many people that I know. So just consider that very likely those ones that keep repeating and appearing in your dreams may be a parallel aspect of yourself, or maybe a higher dimensional embodiment of yourself. Just court the possibility that that might in fact be you, that person that you've considered to be an ascended master or a guide or a helper on the inner planes. That could just very well be you in your fourth or fifth or sixth dimensional self. Those of you that channel, that's another consideration. Usually you channel yourself. So look and see if that's so. Check it out. Consider the possibility. What if? And if that's so, why not integrate that so you don't have that separation of thinking you have to speak to something or someone outside of yourself? Begin to integrate and own your own mastery, your own empowerment, your own light field, your own divine love and peace. So again, looking at peace, when we keep our focus entirely upon reality, upon God, upon truth, upon who and what we are forever, we will have that sense of perfect rest in God. A mantra I used to love to use is, I rest in God as a planet rests in space. And the visualization I would sometimes use would be just floating in space, as light as a leaf, just floating in the love of God. The Course in Miracles says that we are sustained by the love of God. So it's love itself that upholds the planets in space. It's the love of God that keeps them turning in their orbits and all of the cycles of nature going according to perfect order. And so that's what we want to come into alignment and attunement with, the perfect divine peace and order of a perfect creation in which the truth of God exists eternally, and everything that's unreal doesn't need any attention, doesn't need any fixing, it doesn't need any interference whatsoever, because if you focus on the truth, that which has never been simply dissipates for lack of attention. Remember last week we spoke about the power of expectation? Let's expect peace. Let's, instead of expecting devastation and a third world war and all of that stuff, let's expect the miracle working power of God flowing through each one of us. Let's see columns of light whenever we wake up in the morning. Let's bring a column of light from the very divine throne worlds right down into the center of our home. Anchor it in the soul star in the center of the earth. Make your home a transduction coil, a column for the grace and the peace of God to anchor on earth. Place that column of light in your place of work. Place it in your place of worship. Place it where you drive your car. Carry it with you as you drive down the freeways. Bring columns of light into the areas of the world where there's great difficulty. Bring it into Sudan and Darfur and Iraq and Iran and all the different places on the planet. Bring the pure white light of God, of Christ, into those areas for the highest good of all concerned. And that's all that you ask for, the highest divine good for the highest good of all concerned. That leaves the Holy Spirit wiggle room to do what needs to be done. So this perfect peace means in your life a sense of perfect trust in God, perfect trust in truth and in the divine plan that rests behind all things. Whenever you have a chance to talk to people, please have the boldness to speak the truth of what you know about what I'm sharing tonight. If you're self-realized, your absolute duty is to not cavil and shrink from that and go back into identifying with the ego personality just to make somebody else's nightmare more palatable. No. Speak into their lives in a positive way. Remind them of who they are. Remind them that God has everything in control. When they ask you what's going to happen in the future, say, well, I don't know, but I know who holds the future. And God holds everything in creation in his, her heart. Everything is in his, her heart. We live in the heart of God. Everything is in the heart of God. And everything is safe. That's what I choose to believe. You will be very, very different in your group of friends. And you'll get a lot less emails if you take that positioning. So perfect trust is what is called in Sanskrit, sharanagati. Sharanagati is when everything in our inner and outer world we have surrendered and yielded fully to the Spirit of God, where we have no withholds. Everything in our life is open territory for the Lord to inhabit. So if you haven't done it, ask the Lord to inhabit you fully. Come, take habitation in me, Lord. Make of me your temple of peace. Make of me your temple of grace. Make of me your temple of universal, pure, divine love. Inhabit my mind. Inhabit my thoughts. Inhabit my feelings. Inhabit me down from the top of my head to the bottom of my little pink toes. Own me completely, Lord God, and your will be done through everything I say, think, and do. That, beloveds, will transform you from, well, just take it from me. That will transform you inside out if you hold to that commitment to make yourself the holy habitation of the Most High. Now, peace is real power. Anger and aggression really are signs of fear and cowardice. Sai Baba has really good imagery. The next time you get angry, think of this. Sai Baba says that being angry is just like a dog snarling and barking at his reflection in a hall of mirrors. Good visual, isn't it? So think of that. Because any time you allow anger, even the slightest little nuance of irritation, to cloud your holy mind, peace in that instant departs. Because the Holy Spirit is sensitive, just like a dove. That's why they use the dove as the symbol for the Holy Spirit, because the nature of the dove resembles the nature of the Holy Spirit. And the dove is so sensitive, she will not come and sit where there is disharmony. She's very, very sensitive. And likewise, the Holy Spirit will back off from you, and become what is called in the scriptures grieved. That means it is offended when you enter into unloving, negative, snarky, gnarly states. So train yourself to be still, be peaceful, and allow the peace of God to be the umpire in your heart, to decide what you're going to say, to decide what you're going to think, to decide what you're going to respond when you're with another holy emanation of God, i.e., your brother and sister in the outer world. Begin to really make peace the oil of reciprocity that flows between you and all of your relationships. And where that's lacking, pray ardently that God would heal you and show you the peaceful solution, the peaceful answer, the peaceful approach. One time my husband and I were in an argument, and I really didn't know what to do, and I was studying the Course in Miracles, so I would go and I would sit at my altar and I would ask the Holy Spirit, okay, what do I do? And he had grabbed his clothes and tromped down the stairs and marched off to work, and he was angry. And the Holy Spirit said, pick up the phone and call him, and when he picks up, just say, meow. I said, meow? What do you mean, meow? He said, just pick up the phone, call your husband, and say, meow. So I did that. My husband's nickname was Bila, which in Indian language means tomcat. So I picked up the phone, and I said, meow. And my husband kind of snorted and chortled, and then he said, what do you mean, you meow? Why do I get upset with you? You only pray. You only love me in return. Well, forget it. Forget I was entering into ego. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm coming home. We'll go out tonight. And so all of the anger was dissipated. It was turned into humor and lightness. And whenever you have that laughter that comes in, that chuckling, that is the dissipation of the karmic field around a negative state. So the quicker you can return to humor, the quicker you can return to a good laugh at yourself, a good laugh at whatever it was you thought was so important to get your hackles raised over, the quicker that anger and that karma dissipates. You just absolutely dissolve it in laughter. So make laughter part of your peace parcel, because it is a great way to spread the light, is through humor. Someone asked one of the ascended masters, I believe it was the Master Moria, how we could best serve. And he said, you serve us best by good humor and goodwill and lightness of heart and being. So this lightness of heart and being, not taking things so seriously, certainly not taking ourselves very seriously, and not taking anything that's going around you very seriously, because it's all window dressings and stage props and magic beans and silly things and things that go bump and scrape in the dark. But only God is real, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it behaves. There is one being living through all forms, and that is the spirit of the one love and the one God and the one truth. And that spirit lives in you now, in its fullness, in its glory. It just needs to be exercised more and more until that becomes your predominant energetic signature in the world. And then you'll find that you are walking ascended, whole, and free. So again, whenever you look away from the truth of who you are and you lose sight of it, that is when you need to choose again and to remind yourself of who you are and what you are eternally, and to make peace your number one priority. That will give you such incredible power. You're going to really, really be amazed. And when you're not dissipating all of your energy and worrying and fretting and trying to control things that you've never been in control of and never will be in control of, because God's already got it handled, as soon as you can get a grip on all of that and just let go, let God be God, and you just be the angel of God, be the lamb, be that sweet lamb in the world, be a lamb person, a gentle person, a kind person, a very, very innocent, tender, and sweet person, and watch how your life will become so full of the power of the living God that you'll be like Paul and Silas and Peter and Jesus. You'll just walk down the street and your shadow will heal people, and you'll set people free from bondage and limitation just by your presence, and you will begin to be a source of real illumination in this world. And that's what our job assignment is now. When you see chemtrails, also I advise you to do what we did with a little satellite up there and wrap it in the love of God and or the violet flame, whatever you want to use, and just see the residuals, whatever toxic matter that's in the chemtrails, that it just dissipates into harmless and loving energy. Do that with everything, and when you hear negative prophecies, cancel them. Say, I cancel you in the name of Christ, and I speak divine grace and order into this situation now. Don't accept anything the way it has to be. It can be any way we choose, because we are the active light on the planet at this time, and it's our job to speak God's will, which is that none should perish or come to destruction. So tonight we're going to close with the chant Shanti, which Sai Baba says is the vibration of peace. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace to all on earth. God evening.
Hi, this is Mark.